Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation, on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name, the echo is haunting, the echo is always the same. I call your name, the echo is haunting, an echo can never be changed, so I call your name, your name.
Hello and welcome to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation with our host, Bob Ginsberg. I'm Fran Ginsberg, and our show tonight is sponsored by the Comlock Center, and they can be found on the web at comlock.com. That's K-A-M-L-A-K.com. Our guest tonight is Dr. Claude Swanson, and if you have a question, comment, or would like to talk to our guest, the toll-free number here is 888-627-6008. So, Bob, what do you say about getting right into our interview tonight?
Well, we'll do that because when Claude's with us, we want to talk to Claude. So
okay.
Let me introduce Claude Swanson. He was educated as a physicist at MIT and Princeton University. At Princeton, he received the National Science Foundation Fellowship and Putnam Fellowship. His PhD thesis at Princeton was done in the Gravity Group, which focuses on experimental cosmology and astronomy. Then for more than 20 years, interspersed with his conventional professional career in applied physics, Dr. Swanson has pursued investigations into what we'll call unconventional physics. His principal interest has been unified field theory, the so-called theory of everything, which could explain the universe at the deepest possible level. This led him to investigate many aspects of the paranormal that appear to be completely real phenomena, which violate our present science. These paranormal phenomena, which have now been proven in the laboratory in many cases, offer a window into the deeper universe, the mysteries of consciousness, and unlock new forces and principles which conventional science has only begun to glimpse. I should also mention that Claude is a past president of Forever Family Foundation. He's the author of The Synchronized Universe, and Life Force, which are two definitive works that integrate science and spirituality. And his newest book, which we're going to discuss, is called The Science of the Soul, The Afterlife and the Shift. Claude's website is synchronizeduniverse.com. And he doesn't mind you contacting him by email, especially if you're interested in one of his books, and that's claudeswanson@gmail.com. Welcome to the show, Claude.
Thank you, Bob. Great to talk to both of you.
And great to talk to you again. So I mentioned, of course, these two works you previously did, each, I should mention, about 700-800 pages in length, and Synchronized Universe and the Life Force. And in those books, you explored, you know, things like energy and consciousness and PK and a lot of non-local phenomena. But now you're taking a comprehensive look at evidence that supports life after death. So what moved you to shift into this area of exploration and research?
I think, well, just curiosity, first of all. Of course, we all would like to know. We all will go there and find out for ourselves eventually anyway. But I was impatient. I wanted to find out first. So what I've been doing the past 20 years is looking at these energies that Western science has kind of overlooked. Some people call them subtle energies. In China, they call them qi. The Russians have a name, they call it torsion. It doesn't exactly fit in with textbook Western physics, but it appears to explain a lot about what consciousness really is. And it's a continuation. When I got started on all this sort of unusual track, it was through remote viewing. I discovered the government had been doing remote viewing experiments in the 80s, and that requires that your mind can go out of body. Your mind can go travel to other places, look in on other events and other phenomena. The military was using this, and there's now been a lot of scientific research to show that it's real. So it says there is this consciousness body that can leave the physical body, and that consciousness body is really who we really are. So I think that's the key to the afterlife. So it's a continuation, in a way, of what I've been researching for quite a long time.
Yeah, and of course, the title of the new book, Science of the Soul. Some might look at that and say, "Well, what is that all about? You know, science has nothing to do with the soul." So, how would you respond to such a statement?
Well, yeah, that's the shortcoming with present day physics, because it's kind of materialistic. Our present day physics is, and we don't really recognize things that are non-material, and that's a problem, because when the body dies and cremates or gets buried, then what's left? No material. So how can there be a soul or any kind of continuation of consciousness? That's the issue. But what I've discovered, and I'm not the first person to discover this, is that with this out-of-body experience, that there is an energy form, if you like, that is central to every human being, and that is the soul. That's what goes out of body when you go traveling to do remote viewing in some distant location. It goes with you. We have lots and lots of data. The Monroe Institute, where I was also on the board for a few years, also helps people go out of body. And so this is an energy form that's not material, but it carries our consciousness with it. It's the center of our consciousness. And when we die, that soul continues. That energy body continues, which means our consciousness continues. It also even has some other energy information along with it, such as a hologram of the physical body, so that we know that in the afterlife, people create holograms of their own bodies, so they're recognizable to each other. But so these are energy forms that are very important. But our Western science has kind of neglected it. So this is the field of torsion that the Russians have pioneered, and I've been carrying that into the afterlife studies. And I find that the soul is made up, at least in part, of torsion. And there's some other old phenomena that you go back into seances back in the 20s and 30s when people would do seances. And nowadays, people kind of think of it as being debunked and must be a fraud, but they're actually quite genuine, where spirits could take on a physical form and be photographed and seen in the laboratory in a seance condition. And again, ectoplasm, which is based on torsion, is part of that. So torsion is a sort of a science energy that helps connect the materialistic physics with the afterlife.
Yeah, and you know, leave it to you. You're the first person, after doing this all these years, that's actually come up with a scientific explanation of how ectoplasm might occur, which I believe you described, using the torsion theory, with the torsion entwining with physical cells and fluid. I mean, for those who are not familiar with ectoplasm, it is a substance that exudes from the various orifices of the medium. You don't see it much today, but the physical mediums in the past had that. So now, as long as you mentioned, the seances, I thought I would bring that up. But isn't it a problem today, though? I find that a lot of the researchers, parapsychologists, have a problem with physical mediumship because of the difficulties in researching it, because the mediums insist on total darkness, which of course is a problem. But as a physicist, are there other ways of introducing light into, like, the seance, so that you to observe it, so like infrared or other types of light frequencies?
Absolutely. You're totally correct, Bob, as usual. I had read and studied some of these cases before, because in the older books about spirits and mediumship, you find accounts like this, but there are all these questions, because there were some cases that were frauds where people in put in some gauze or string or something else and kind of made a fake out of it. And so that discredited all of the genuine ones. And so some researchers are afraid to look into it. But with technology having advanced nowadays, even nowadays we have infrared photography. And we also have light photography that requires very little light, but infrared photography requires no visible light. And so there are very good photographic studies now of physical mediums. I kind of discovered this. I came across it, a fellow I know named Jan Vandersande, who spent time in South Africa as a material scientist. He was a PhD in material science, working down there on diamond mining, you know. But in his time down there, he came across some good mediums, some good physical mediums, and had a chance to experience mediumship close up, firsthand. And he discovered how genuine ectoplasm is. And by that point, they were starting to use good infrared photography. So he wrote a little book and about the subject, and I've got with him and have included some photographs from that. There are now a bunch of different very good infrared photographs of mediums in operation in the middle of a seance, and the ectoplasm just streams out of their body. It typically will roll up on the floor, or it may begin folding up. Typically, in a physical medium, there are spirit helpers that you can't really see, but they're present, and they will manipulate the ectoplasm, and then they'll cover another spirit that wants to become visible with this ectoplasm, and it has properties that are partly physical. Namely, it has some of the cells and the fluids of the physical medium in this material, but it's held together by, I believe, torsion. It's a spiritual energy, not a physical energy, that makes it possible for those spirits to also manipulate it. So I have these wonderful first-person accounts when people are in these seances, and the medium will be producing the ectoplasm. It'll be piling up on the floor, you know, like a big kind of a viscous puddle. And then a spirit will enter into the pile and begin rising up. And it has, from the inside, the spirit will sort of start smoothing it out and having it cover the body, and the first thing you know, it takes on the form of a recognizable human being who has passed away. And these have been seen now in first person, very vivid experiences by lots of people. I have a quote in my book from a lady who went to one of these seances at one of the seances called the Home Circle, and she was scared before going because she'd never met a dead person, and it was kind of a frightening concept to her. But one of the little old ladies who had passed away, about 4 years dead, appeared, materialized in this seance, and they covered their skin with the ectoplasm, they covered their face with the ectoplasm, they create this fabric. It's like that they cover most of their body with, and they walk out into the crowd, and she would shake hands, and she would smile, and she would talk to people. And it's very vivid. It totally changes your life and your opinion about the afterlife when you study these experiences.
Yeah, and we're going to take a short break, but as you're explaining that, I'm thinking to myself, boy, if your colleagues at MIT and Princeton could only hear you now, right?
Well, they need to. They need to, Bob.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we're going to go to a quick break. We come back. We'll have a lot more with Dr. Claude Swanson, and we'll be talking about the afterlife. So stay with us.
The Camlack Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the Camlack Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.kamlak.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
We all grieve in different ways, and let's face it, grief hurts. Losing a loved one is usually the hardest event we will ever face. We can throw our hands up and become hardened by our grief, or we can take positive steps to transform it. Love Knows No Death, a groundbreaking and powerful grief transformation method, can be what you've been looking for to provide some peace and understanding. It was created and written by medical doctor and professor Dr. Piero Calvi Perazzetti, and it's a combination of a self-help workbook and video course. The workbook has the power to lessen grief and foster significant healing, and has already helped countless people to not only lead productive lives, but to do so with the knowledge that they will indeed see their loved ones again. The workbook can be purchased for $19.95 on Amazon or on the ForeverFamilyFoundation.org grief and loss page, where a digital version is also available for $9.95. Love knows no death. Truer words have never been spoken.
Imagine seeing spirits are spontaneously speaking indigenous Brazilian rainforest languages. Janet Mayer, a psychic medium, does just that. In her new book, Spirits, They Are Present, she opens the door to her private life in order to share her compelling, fearful, and at times humorous journey, providing evidence that when we die, we simply make a transition to another life. Spirits, They Are Present, available now at www.janetmayer.net, Amazon, and other online booksellers. Order your copy today.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation.
For those just tuning in, our guest this evening is Dr. Claude Swanson. Our sponsor tonight is the Kamlak Center, and they can be found on the web at kamlak.com. Bob?
And Claude's newest book is called The Science of the Soul, The Afterlife and the Shift. It's not quite out yet. I don't believe it's on Amazon, but you can get more information from Claude by either going to the website, synchronizeuniverse.com, or email claudeswanson@gmail.com. Isn't it strange, Claude, that, you know, we generally accept a lot of the things that science tells us that have nothing to do with our physical senses? I mean, we accept, you know, quantum entanglement, we accept dark energy, we accept black holes and so forth. But when you talk about survival of consciousness, many people find it so difficult to conceive of it. You know, it's strange, isn't it?
It's very strange. What I think is strangest of all is that 100 years ago, when quantum physics was first being discovered, the quantum pioneers in those days, like Niels Bohr and Schrodinger, discovered that if the consciousness does affect a quantum system, so that if you look at a double slit experiment, for example, which way the electrons jump, it can be affected, the wave functions can be affected by looking. So your consciousness can disrupt quantum systems. So 100 years ago, they knew that. And you would think after 100 years, they would have fixed it, or they would have figured out a way to include consciousness into the physics. But they've kind of kept it off to the side, almost like they're afraid to take a look at it.
Right.
And most physics experiments are done where you don't look at the data until the end, so the consciousness can't affect it very much. And people like Robert John at Pear Lab and people like that, their work is so important, and yet physics kind of ignores it and keeps it off to the side. You have to publish in a different journal, and it's too bad. It seems like a long time ago science should have addressed this whole issue, because I think consciousness is probably central to physics, and it needs to be integrated somehow. So that's what I'm trying to do in my own humble way, but it'd be nice to have some help.
Well, I think the help's on the way. So in the book, you get into a lot of the phenomena and the disciplines of research that suggest survival. I mean, you talk about near-death experiences and out-of-body experiences and electronic voice phenomena, mediumship, past life memories, apparitions, dream visitations, you know, the whole gamut. Do you believe that there is some unifying principle that allows all of these things to occur?
I do. Yeah, I should say I have a chapter on each one of these different methods by which spirits show up and are measured and detected. So it may be annoying how thorough I am, but it's another 800-page tome that I have written, another 4.5-pound book. I'm sorry, Bob. More than 1,000 references and hundreds of figures, but I've really tried to go over all the different data. The near-death experiences is, of course, one of the most familiar ones, where people die and they encounter the afterlife, at least the edges of it. But there's so many different ways it shows up, and I have some theoretical explanations for how science can understand some of these things. For example, the synchronized universe model, which has been around, I wrote that, my first book, shows us how there can be parallel planes, how there can be parallel realities that are invisible to us, and yet when we are in them, they are totally real to us. It's you can think of it as a frequency, like a frequency on a radio dial. You change the frequency and suddenly you're hearing a different voice. It's a little more than that, because there's a force. You feel there's a tangibility to matter, and it's, so you touch something and it feels real. And so you have to explain why it is that when you shift frequency, the matter, the solidness of things changes. But that little model that I've had now for 15 years explains an amazing amount of what the afterlife is like. I have a first-person accounts of people. Well, first of all, let me say, one type of very nice data that I have is called direct voice mediumship. And people may not be very familiar with that, but there's a certain kind of physical medium for whom when the ectoplasm forms, it forms in what they call a larynx that the spirits can speak into, and yet it creates an audible sound that anybody in the room can hear, that can be recorded. And it's a pretty rare ability, this talent, to create this type of energy. But Leslie Flint is one of the more famous ones, and there are over 500 recordings of seances where spirits came and talked in the seance in this way and were recorded. And what the scientists have investigated him very, very thoroughly. They'll tie him to a chair. They will fill his mouth with water and then tape it up so he can't speak. They'll put microphones on his throat to make sure he's not engaging in ventriloquism. And yet it doesn't matter what they do. These voices still appear, because these are from the actual spirits with the mediumship of the ectoplasm that makes it into a sound. So and there's a Leslie Flint Foundation on the web that has hundreds of these recordings. If you go there, you can listen to the people who have come through over the years and described what it's like to die, what it's like, what their life is like now in the afterlife, and how they perceive the earth from their point of view, what they see happening here, things like that. So it's very, very enlightening. But so it'll change your mind just when you watch some of these interactions. I have a lot of quotes in my book from the Leslie Flint Foundation. They gave me permission to use it. But what they also describe, what the experience is like of dying from their point of view. They describe, and what they say is that when they die, the physical surroundings fade. They fade and become invisible, and something else, a different terrain. It might be fields, it might be a stream, it might be trees. They'll see a different surroundings. It's like a fading in and fading out, just like changing frequency, which is what the synchronized universe model would predict. And I have lots of other data that backs that up. So that's when people ask, well, where's heaven? You know, where's the afterlife? Well, it's right here. I mean, it's in the same physical space, but it's at a different frequency, a different synchronization. So that's really important to understand.
Yeah, and
yeah, go ahead.
So that there are many planes of reality that exist at the same time, and you touched on this before with the nature of time. So if they're all coexisting but in different frequency levels, I mean, sometimes some people are able to bleed into another one of these higher frequency realms. Is that a simplistic way of explaining it?
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, if you watch a good telepathic medium, they can often just shift their state of consciousness, just shift their attitude, and they can tune in to another realm, and they can communicate with the spirit, and then they go back into normal consciousness and communicate with you. And so it can be pretty quick for some people to shift back.
What about when we talk about, you know, time maybe, you know, enfolding back on itself? I mean, what about time travel? I mean, is it theoretically possible?
I believe so. I think one of the big questions for me for a long time was the grandfather paradox. You know, you go back in time and you kill your grandfather, then how can you be there anymore? There's like contradictions and paradoxes. But in my synchronized universe model, there are many parallel realities, and they can be similar to each other but slightly different. So that what that means is, if you go back in time and change something, that may put you on a different sheet, a different plane of reality, but it may be very close to the other one but slightly different. So it enables you to make changes in the past and still, you know, be allowed, so you're still maintaining your contact with reality. And this whole idea of many parallel realities, which I originally put out in my book, thinking, well, that's a logical consequence, but it seemed kind of far-fetched originally. But then a couple of years later, a friend of mine told me about Richard Bartlett and Matrix Energetics, where he cures people of diseases, of illnesses, by shifting the plane of reality that they're in. If you broke your arm in one plane, you go back in time a little bit, shift to another plane where it didn't happen, and suddenly your arm is healed. And that's an extreme case, but there are Qigong masters and kahuna healers in Hawaii who do something very similar. This is one of the basic techniques of shamanism, is you go to that other parallel reality where things are slightly different. So, you know, it might be totally right.
Yeah, and you obviously have a grasp of the science more than most of us, but you also, from talking with you over the years, you have the spiritual side of you. And you recognize a certain revolution coming. You talk about it in your books. I mean, it's both a scientific revolution and a shift of consciousness, you know. And you feel it coming. It seems slow in this physical plane as we navigate our regular lives, but it's going to come nonetheless. But I guess my question to you is, What do you think is eventually going to change the worldview? Is it going to be when we all engage in the personal inner exploration and recognition that we're part of a connected universe, or is it the scientific breakthroughs into the nature of consciousness that's going to flip us all, or is it a combination of both?
Yeah, that's a good point. It's a deep question, and I wish I knew the answer. I part of this, the reason I put the afterlife and the shift in the title of the book is that in the last year or two, when I was finishing up the book, I was hearing a lot of talk on the web about a consciousness shift. I was hearing about it from people like Corey Good and David Wilcox of the Secret Space Program. And I was thinking, well, okay, that's pretty interesting. But it still seemed kind of far out. And then I began noticing that for the past 10 years, I've been collecting all of these accounts from many different people in many walks of life that have been saying the same thing. Just one example out of a couple dozen, Bruce Moen, who is one of the afterlife experts, who did a lot of out-of-body travel with Monroe Institute and would go out-of-body and talk to and visit the afterlife and other planes of consciousness. And in one of them, he's talking about interacting with a spacecraft, with these very advanced ETs and this large craft, and they're explaining to him that they are here to watch us at the shift. They're here to watch and take part in and observe the shift. And there are dozens of similar examples like this, totally independent, very different point of view, but they're all saying, yes, there's a big consciousness shift that is happening right now, and it's about to become much more intense. So, and there are some geological events. The sun is going to go through some things. The earth will go through some things. And we're probably going to meet some of these cosmic cousins of ours. They may come down to help rescue or help us get through some of this stuff. It's not exactly clear how it's going to happen, but that'll shake us up. That'll wake us up. So all of these may play a role in this. And to me, it's just one more clue that our old science can't last very long. It's going to have to acknowledge consciousness and acknowledge these other phenomena because they're very real and they're part of who we are. We're not just these material meat machines that our Western culture would like us to believe. You know, we are souls, we are spirits, and we do live forever, you know, and we're here to learn. And so this larger perspective on who we really are and what we're about is something we all need to kind of wake up to. And so I think that's part of it.
Yeah. You made me think when you're talking about our cosmic cousins, you know, sometimes I think it might be intertwined. You know, we see something that we're not sure what it is, and it could be, apparitions or guides from the afterlife realm that we interpret as a, possibly some extraterrestrial or part of the UFO phenomena. I'm sure the two areas are not as separated as we think.
Yeah, I totally agree, Bob. I know Dr. Kenneth Ring has in his research has been noticing that the near-death experience and the UFO abduction have a lot of similarities. And I'm also involved with FREE, F-R-E-E, which is the Edgar Mitchell Foundation, and they've been doing a lot of studies, and they're finding that out-of-body experiences and UFO abductions have a lot in common. They're both teaching us about these higher planes of existence and higher planes of consciousness, which is kind of part of who we really are. It's also part of what the afterlife is.
Yeah. Well, we're going to go to another break. When we come back, maybe we can get a little bit into some of the evidence for reincarnation, past life memories. I know you write about that in the book. So stay with us. We'll be back with Dr. Swanson in a couple of minutes.
The CAMLAC Center is putting birth and death back together again. aimed at changing the way we look at death, the Camlack Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlack.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one. Starseed Gems Studios in Cocoa, Florida fuses cremation ashes within art glass, making beautiful stones. The ashes are visible in the darkness and resemble a beautiful night sky. Starseed Gems, developed by the parents of a young man who passed away, are set in hand-sculpted silver and gold settings. Prices start at $150. Visit www.starseedgems.com or call 321-632-7770. That's www.starseedgems.com or 321-632-7770.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
We all grieve in different ways, and let's face it, grief hurts. Losing a loved one is usually the hardest event we will ever face. We can throw our hands up and become hardened by our grief, or we can take positive steps to transform it. Love Knows No Death, a groundbreaking and powerful grief transformation method, can be what you've been looking for to provide some peace and understanding. It was created and written by medical doctor and professor Dr. Piero Calvi Perazzetti, and it's a combination of a self-help workbook and video course. The workbook has the power to lessen grief and foster significant healing, and has already helped countless people to not only lead productive lives, but to do so with the knowledge that they will indeed see their loved ones again. The workbook could be purchased for $19.95 on Amazon or on the ForeverFamilyFoundation.org grief and loss page, where a digital version is also available for $9.95. Love knows no death. Truer words have never been spoken.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation.
If you are just tuning in, we have been talking to Dr. Claude Swanson. Our sponsor tonight is the Camlack Center, and they can be found on the web at camlack.com. We want to remind our listeners to check the events page on our website, foreverfamilyfoundation.org, for all the latest events and happenings, and to remind you what's coming up free this next month in March. On March 5th, from 6:45 p.m. to 8:45 p.m., that's Eastern Time, the Afterlife Discussion Group of Long Island meets at the Cold Spring Harbor Library in Cold Spring Harbor, New York. On March 9th, from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern, and that's from 11 to noon Pacific, the Visionary Explorers Group meets online. On March 9th as well, from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern Time, the Afterlife Discussion Group in Miami meets at the West Dade Regional Library in Miami, Florida. Also, for our members only, we have a limited number of free seats available at our March 6th webinar, our second webinar of the year that will be presented by Dave Kane on March 6th at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, streaming live on your computer wherever you are in the world, Dave will share fascinating stories and intriguing evidence that life never ends. Attendance is free for our members, $20 for non-members. Our annual Holiday of the Earth raffle is up and running. Enter now to win up to 5 medium readings with Forever Family Foundation certified mediums Tracy Lee Nash, Neil Zapowski, Renata Santarelli, Catherine Nadal, and Eliza Ray. The drawing is set for April 22nd, Earth Day, and it's only $5 to enter. The annual Summer Grief Retreat, Love Knows No Death, is open for enrollment with special discounts to our members only. Be sure to grab one of the 50 seats to this great weekend where attendees work in small groups with Forever Family Foundation certified mediums Rebecca Anlow Cicero, Sari Bernstein, and Joseph P. Scheel, along with Dr. Mo Hanna and a caring staff of facilitators assisting in transforming your grief. This special weekend is scheduled for July 26th to 28th in Chester, Connecticut, where you will learn that the mystery of death is not a mystery at all, but a doorway to another chapter of continuing life. And please, please, please help us keep all of our programs going by visiting our website and clicking on the donation button. It's on every single page. Because of the work we do not receive the grants and funding that all other traditional not-for-profits enjoy. You can also help us pay our bills by participating in iGive.com, Amazon.com, Amazon Smile, and great not-for-profits. And follow us on our YouTube channel for great stories and videos at youtube.com/afterlifeeducation. Back to you, Bob.
And we're back with Dr. Claude Swanson. His newest book is called The Science of the Soul, The Afterlife, and the Shift. You know, Claude, one of the things you talk about is, you know, past life memories of children, you know, the reincarnation. One of the most evidential pieces of evidence in that realm is from these birthmark cases where a child is born with birthmarks that correspond to injuries sustained by the person they remember in a prior life. Any thoughts to mechanism them allow that to happen?
Well, you know, I know that Dr. Ian Stevenson, you know, was one of the key experts in this area, professor at the University of Virginia, and investigated thousands of cases like this of children who, when they were young, remembered their past life and a lot of details about it and how they died. And he did comparisons between the method of death and the presence of birthmarks, and he found that they were very highly correlated. So it does look like the soul or the etheric energy part of the body kind of carries with it some kind of energy, some kind of that remembers that injury. There's lots and lots of data from people like Dr. Stevenson that show that the afterlife is, that our memories of it are correct. They're not just confabulations. One example that I talk about in the book is when it first came out, I got a box of these that were shipped to my hometown. This was my first volume, The Synchronized Universe, when it first came out. And the person who brought the box of books to my home was a man named Jimmy Hunt, who I had known all my life. He was a deacon in the Methodist church where I used to go. And he also ran the oil delivery, the oil dealership in town, and a couple other businesses. But he said, well, when he first looked at my book, he thought it said poison because he saw the name of my company, Poseidia Press. And he looked at it twice and said, no, that's not poison, that's Poseidia. But he said, well, what's your book about? And I was kind of afraid to tell him, because this is the Bible Belt, kind of a conservative Christian area in rural Virginia, and some people down there don't take the paranormal too well, and I was afraid to tell him, but I tried to explain to him this with the science of the paranormal. And he said, is that kind of like past life regression? And I said, yeah, yes, it is. And it turns out that our preacher, the Methodist preacher that I had actually heard a couple of sermons of in the town, had hypnotically regressed about 100 people in the town I grew up in, including his wife. When he hypnotized her, she began speaking fluent German. And neither she nor he had ever had any training in German at all in this lifetime. Yet she remembered, under hypnosis, a past life in the 1800s in Germany where she'd been killed. And she could speak German quite fluently. And Ian Stevenson, the professor, came down there and became involved in the case. And it became a famous case. But there's just so many cases like that where our past life memories, when they examine them with good quality hypnosis, you find out that they really remember accurately things that you can prove really did happen in the previous life. I love examples like that. Yeah.
Yeah. What makes that case interesting is that, you know, a lot of people were somewhat skeptical of hypnotic regression because you're in a, you know, hypnotic state. You're in a very suggestible, you know, state. But that can't explain being able to speak fluent German.
You know? No, that's right.
those cases are really evidential.
Dr. Michael Newton, who's became a famous hypnotic regressionist and did 7,000 cases, the first time he did it, he was kind of doubtful. He didn't quite know if he could trust it or not. So he had a client with a pain in his abdomen, and he regressed him back to find the source of the pain. And it turned out that he had been killed by, I think, a bayonet through the gut in World War I. And that's how he died. And that's where the pain was coming from. And so Michael Newton, being a skeptic and being a scientist, paid more attention to getting his shoulder patch. He wanted to know what unit he was with and where he was located in France. And then he looked it up in the records to verify this man had been there to prove that it was an accurate past life memory.
We were lucky to have Michael Newton on a radio show, before he passed away, and that was he wrote so many books about, you know, life between lives. So it's a fascinating topic. One of the other things that you talk about is electronic voice phenomena. You know, where voices are somehow imprinted on recording devices. You know, voices from the spirit world. When we think in physical terms, it's impossible, but yet it happens. It's sort of like PK from another realm, right? It's like your consciousness has the ability to imprint itself, for lack of a better term, on a recording device. I mean, how do you see it?
Well, actually, I have some scientific news for you on this one, because there's so much data I went through in compiling this book, Bob, that I was able to come up with a pretty good physics explanation for how this works. And I've got it from several different directions. First of all, you're familiar with orbs, and some orbs actually are spirits that are out of body, or actually when we go out of body and go visit some other place, we often appear as an orb. So it's a traveling form of the astral body. But when we are dead, in the afterlife, we often get permission to come back and visit, to look in on loved ones and family. And we also do that in an orb or a spherical container. And we have accounts from people in the afterlife describing being inside a bubble, coming to visit their life, their friends. We also have accounts from people on this side observing the orbs. Native Americans have a healing ceremony where their ancestors come and visit them and fly around the room during healing, and they also appear as little orbs, little bubbles about an inch or so in diameter, and they emit a high-pitched voice. Sylvia Brown writes, when she was a girl of seven, combing her hair in front of the mirror, a little orb floated up to her ear and began speaking in a high-pitched voice to her. Okay, and it scared the heck out of her, and she ran to her mommy, who said, "Oh, don't worry, dear, that's just your grandmother. She's coming to visit." But so this is the form in which spirits often can visit the physical, and when they do, they can emit, in some cases, high-pitched, faint voices that you can hear if your ears are young enough and good enough, or tape recorders, if they're good enough. They found that in electronic voice phenomena, tape recorders work better if they are better at the high frequencies. Likewise, you can use other things. One ghost hunter I know, Christopher Moon, was watching orbs cavort around in a darkened room using infrared cameras, and he said they would fly into the tape recorder and go into the recording head and then out again. And he believed that was when they were leaving the signal on the tape, because they vibrate and that changes the magnetic field of the tape recorder. So there's a whole lot of interesting information we have now about how EVP may work.
Yeah, it's the other interesting part about EVP is that there are some people that they're sort of like magnets to it, that they get voices almost every time that they record, and yet others try and nothing happens. So some people seem to be acting as mediums, that are better able to pick up on these voices. I don't know how, but it seems that way.
I think you're right. I've built some electronics to do some EVP, but I haven't had the confidence that my personality would be sufficiently attractive and magnetic that the orbs would bother to come and visit me. So
Claude, people in the physical world are going to like you in the spirit world, too.
Well, I want to collaborate with someone like Christopher Moon, someone who I know has that built-in attraction, you know.
Right. So, you know, we don't have much time, but I did want to ask you, so out of all the things that you write about, all these different things that we've been talking about, is there one particular phenomenon that is most convincing to you of an afterlife?
They're all convincing if you can. The people who have the most powerful demonstrations probably are the physical mediums, some of these ectoplasm cases, but the mediums are pretty rare. So I tell you, the Leslie Flint Foundation website, I would go to that if I were a listener curious about it. Go there and listen to some of those recordings of the spirits speaking, and read about him too, because here is a man who had this natural talent. His energy field, his aura, seemed to be able to create this energy that enabled the spirits to speak through it and to work with the ectoplasm. But he didn't know about any of that. No one gave him a manual about how this worked. Because what he knew was he used to go to the movie theater as a kid, and these voices would start talking in the dark. And people behind him would kick his seat because it was annoying. They said, "What's this? These voices, stop making those noises," and he wasn't doing it. So Leslie Flint would be one person who I could suggest people might go to, because there's so many recordings there and so much information to learn about what it's like.
Yeah. And of course, the recordings are great because, you know, it's tangible evidence that we can perceive with our normal sense, so to speak. So those are very compelling. I know for me, it's always been deathbed visions that I find the most convincing to me personally of an afterlife. But unfortunately, I know there's 800 pages to go through, but we're out of time.
It's wonderful talking to you, Bob and Fran.
You'll have to come back again. So again, this new compilation is called The Science of the Soul, The Afterlife and the Shift. website is synchronizeduniverse.com, and you can find out more about the book by emailing Claude at claudeswanson@gmail.com. Claude, thanks so much for being with us tonight. It's a pleasure talking with you again. Hope to talk to you again soon.
Great. Thank you so much, guys. Talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks.
We now ask our listeners to please join us in our global peace prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from our participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind. Now let us, as one consciousness, give our energy of loving thought by praying like this: to love one another, to treat others as we would like to be treated, to forgive others and return love for hate, kindness for anger, to spread this feeling to everyone, to our fellow man, as well as the earth and its environment. And now it's time to say,
our loved ones are only a heartbeat away,
and science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.